Take your Bibles to Romans chapter 15, and as always, in my studies, I do try to make sure that God wants me to go in this particular direction or that particular direction and such and so forth, and as I keep looking into these different things and see these, you can call them characteristics, attributes, really whatever you would like to, about God. These are just things that God is, really, and how God shows Himself to us, and what to what end and what point really, for our benefit, and for our example. So you understand that these are very important things to understand about God. So if you found your place there in Romans 15. Out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you would please stand if you are physically able. And beginning in verse 1, I'll read out loud. You follow along silently. We'll read down through verse 7. It says here in Romans 15, it says, "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Now, the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another, according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God." So the first thing I want you to notice is we have another mention of the God of. Okay? I believe the last time I looked at the little counter on the word search thingy, that phrase "God of something" is listed almost 300 times. And again, most of those are like, you know, the God of Israel or the God of Abraham or the God of your fathers or, you know, stuff like that. The majority of those instances are those things. And there's a handful or maybe a couple of handfuls of different ones that we've been going through. The God of truth. I mean, that was a good one, wasn't it? The God of love. The God of all grace. The God of hope. Okay? And others that we've gone through and mentioned. So tonight we come down to another one that I think is very critical for us to look at. And this one here, Paul starts off and he writes and says, "Now, the God of patience." Patience. And just the verse before that, he says this, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Now, we've already talked about the God of all comfort. And I use that verse to illustrate that the Scriptures give us comfort. But guess what the Scriptures also give us? Patience. Patience. So patience is basically listed as the suffering of afflictions, pain, toil, calamity, provocation, or other evil with a calm, unruffled temper. Let me just stop there and just say, not me. If you know anything about personality traits and or personalities, the different listings, you know, you have your clerics and you have your sanguines and you have melancholy and what's the other one? Phlegmatic, that's what it is. Anybody ever study those? Good study. They're interesting. I am about 99.999573 6% penguin. I mean sanguine. That's my personality type. And so you'd understand that those dominant personality types are not very patient oftentimes. Patience is not just one of my strong suits. But I've tried to learn over the years about patience. And sometimes I succeed and sometimes I don't. And so you understand, though, that it's this having, going through all of those different variety of things, experiencing all the different things that, if you will, life can throw at you, and remaining calm, unruffled in temper. You understand that these things are what God wants for us to possess. He is the God of patience. Now, how many of you would like to admit that you've experienced the patience of God in your life? Yeah, absolutely. How many times has God showered upon you His patience? When I was a kid, we used to sing a song, my brother and sister and I. I don't remember if it was part of a Sunday school thing or something that we learned it, or my parents taught it to us, I don't know. But it just had to do with the song, He's Still Working on Me, to make me what I ought to be. It took Him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth, and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and gracious He must be. He's still working on me. That's the chorus. There's other verses and stuff to that song. But you understand, though, He's still working on us because of His patience. He hasn't given up. He hasn't said, oh, enough of this. I'm done. You know, I'm just going to let that stubborn, marred vessel just sit there. Because I'm done working with it. It won't move. It won't take the shape that I want it to. But you think about, you know, and in the Bible it gives us the example of the potter's wheel and all that in the Old Testament, and we're the clay, and He's the potter, and potters have got to have great patience. How many of you have ever tried to make a clay something? Okay, and mine turned out to be a clay something. That's what it was. Nobody knows what it was because, and I don't even know because it's just like, you know, whatever. And in high school we did that, and we even had the kiln there to put it in and fire it up, you know, and do all that stuff and harden it and everything. Anybody got to do that in school? Okay, I got to do that. It was fun. Anyways, but you have to have great patience when taking and molding and shaping that clay. And you gotta kind of move it along, and you just gotta go over and over and over, and then it wobbles, and you gotta, and sometimes you gotta start over, huh? Or you get to going and there's that marring that's in there, those hard pieces that start causing problems, and you gotta kind of stop, and you gotta kind of pick them out and smooth it out, you know. You got to go through that process. What does that take? Use. That's how most of us like to respond to that kind of stuff. Aren't you glad that God doesn't do that to you? Oh, man. I mean, He's the God of patience. You see, God exhibits His patience upon us, and mankind for that matter. I don't like to get into political topics, really just in general, because it just most of the time just makes me upset. But someone asked me, this was before the last presidential education. I wish it was an education. Presidential election. They said, well, what do you think God's going to do with this election? Now, first of all, that's the right attitude to think about it. Okay? You understand that. And I said, well, I take it two ways. First way, if God wants to, He can proclaim judgment upon America. We've done enough things, and America has done enough to receive the wrath of God, folks. It's just a fact. And if he chooses, that's what he can do. And guess what? That's kind of what we got. Now, I said, or God could show his mercy upon us and continue to be patient with us if he so chooses. And it seems like that's not the path he chose. But that's his prerogative, right? That's what God gets to do. And you know what? This upcoming election, we're in the same boat again. God can choose to continue to judge America, or he can choose to show us some grace, or that I like that space of grace, and show us that mercy and show us some patience to say, all right, I'm going to work with you a little bit longer. I'm going to do this. Listen, did he do that for Israel? He did. Now, were there times he pronounced judgment? Yes, he did. Okay, does that mean he's not patient? Oh, no. No, he's patient. You know, one of the words that goes along with patience is long-suffering. Did you know it's not forever suffering? It's not. And just because someone is patient and decides to end the patience doesn't no longer make them patient or not patient. I know that was totally wrong. Do you know what I was trying to say? Okay. I'm going to sit down and figure out. I have to write that out. Maybe do a sentence diagram to see which modifiers go where. But just because he ends his patience doesn't mean he's no longer patient. He's the God of patience. I want you to think about God's patience in your life. Colossians chapter 1, Paul said in verses 9 through 14, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness." That's what God wants for us in our lives. Increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Don't we need a boatload of that today? We do. Because sometimes we maybe endure things, which enduring is not the same as patience, exactly. It's kind of an element of patience. You do have to endure. But did you notice there he says, with all patience, and what? Long-suffering with... Oh, that's the hard part. Yeah. That's what God wants. And guess what? It's according to his power, and he's working in us, and we're to be increasing and being strengthened in this work. The church in Philadelphia was a good church. They were commended highly in Revelation chapter 3. And Jesus says to them, he says, "These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews, and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth." That's an interesting thought, isn't it? They were commended because they kept God's word. And then he said, because they kept the word of his patience. You know, there's a lot of people that are losing patience. You know, there's no mystery that we're going through the things that we're going through in this time. You see, it's a mystery to me, but then you're not reading your Bible. Sorry, didn't mean to be so rude there. It says the world's going to wax worse and worse. It tells us it's going to be as it was in the days of Noah. It says that it's going to be to the point where these people, they're going to be just wicked and vile and leaving natural affections and doing all these off-the-wall things that are just beyond belief. But this Bible tells us that they are. And you know what it tells us to do? And of some having compassion, making the difference. That's what it says. And it's no mistake that Paul said that not only was he the God of patience, but he was the God of patience and consolation. Now, we already talked about the God of all comfort. And consolation and comfort are very, very close. In fact, one of the words to describe comfort is consolation. And one of the words to describe consolation is comfort. But comfort, or consolation says it's comfort. Alleviation of misery or distress of mind. So it alleviates the misery and distress, this consolation. That's what consolation does. But it also refreshes the mind or the spirits. So it's a refreshment. It's an alleviation. Okay, it's like having a peppermint and a Tylenol. Okay? Never mind. Repaint. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. I got to laugh out of that joke, okay? We'll go back to that one. Alleviate, okay, refresh, never mind. Forget. See, maybe a Tylenol and a Coke, okay? How about that? Is that better? Refreshments? Okay. But it's alleviation of misery and refreshment of mind. That's consolation. So not only is God a God of patience, he's the God of patience and consolation. Hey, listen to this. When someone is patient with you, does that often alleviate distress? It does. Okay? When someone's impatient with you, does that alleviate distress? No. It does what? Enhances distress. It makes it more miserable. Okay? Now, this is where my character flaws come in. I sometimes, just ask my boys, I sometimes can be a very impatient person. I can't. Come on, shake your little heads up and down. It's okay. I won't kill you right here. I'll kill you at home. Right? Your dad can be impatient, can he? Yeah? Amen. Thank you. But you know what? I'm trying to learn that many times that impatience doesn't make things better. It doesn't alleviate distress and misery. And it certainly doesn't refresh anything. That's why our God is the God of patience and consolation. You see, when someone is patient, it consoles the spirit. It refreshes and it alleviates the misery. In 2 Corinthians, Paul writes in chapter 1 in verses 3 through 11, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." Now, we read that before.
And we talked about the God of all comfort. But he goes on and he says, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so, now he changes words, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, now what was consolation supposed to alleviate? Affliction and misery. It says, he says, it is for your consolation. Saying affliction is for our consolation? Affliction alleviates and refreshes the mind? It alleviates misery and refreshes the spirits? He says this, though, about this consolation. He says, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. You see, he's the God of patience and consolation. So even though on that potter's wheel, things don't seem to be going right, or imperfections seem to arise, and there may be some afflictions, we're still in his hands. And his refreshment and his alleviation of our miseries is constant. Because it's by Christ. And he even says that, hey, as these things begin to ramp up, then God ramps up the patience and consolation. It's amazing. Because that's the kind of God that he is. He is the God of patience. And he is the God of consolation. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul writes and says, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation, through the sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation. Now, doesn't that kind of go with long suffering? Doesn't that kind of go with the idea of patience? It's everlasting consolation and good hope through grace comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Do you suppose the church in Philadelphia was established in every good word and work? We know they were. That was part of the commendation that they had. And God said that he was going to do what? Bless them. That was a church that didn't have any condemnations against them. You understand that God wants us to be filled with his patience and his consolation to the point that we are comforted in heart, established in every good word and work, are of good hope through grace, and it's an everlasting consolation that he's provided for you and for me. He's the God of patience and consolation. So what? These things, this patience that God exhibits toward us, this consolation that he gives, is not just for our well-being. It's for our well-being unto fruitfulness. So we can abound. We can be fruitful. And we can pass on these things and help other people in their lives. You see, there's got to come a point in our time. There's got to come a point in our lives, or a time in our lives. I tried to mix both those together without giving you the object. where we grow past just receiving all of these things for ourselves. Truth, love, hope, peace, comfort, consolation, patience. I have dozens more verses to read you about patience. There were hundreds of them. But can I tell you something? It's great to receive all of those for ourselves and for our own benefit. But that's not the end of it. We ought to grow to a place where we're letting those things course through us unto others. Maybe we could be a little more patient. I know I can. I can be a lot more patient. And I can show consolation to others because God has shown it to me. And if I may borrow a phrase, it's our reasonable service. It's just reasonable for us to do that. God wants to show us, hey, guys, this is who I am. These are the things that are in me. And I want them to be a benefit to you because I'm going to show that to you. But now I want you to be that to someone else. And many someone else's in your life.